So this is for Refuah Shleima of Ezra Akiva ben
Devorah Miriam.
Devorah Miriam. Ezra ben Devorah Miriam. Okay, so we're back to our different mishaps of Brachios. I'm sure next week we'll do a Purim shiur next Monday night. So we'll take a break from the Brachios. We'll do something on Purim. But the next, again, a blunder or a mishap or seemingly thing that went amiss at Brachios, you find on the first page of this handout. This is in Pasuk Tes Zayin. We're now talking about the fourth day of Brachios, and it says, this is when Hashem creates the stars and the sun and all the luminaries and the moon. It says, V'yasa Elokim b'shneim oros ha'gadolim. So Hashem created the two great luminaries, seemingly the sun and the moon. Esamora gadolim b'shamos hayom, the big luminary to rule over the day, that is the sun. V'esamora katon b'shamos halayla, and the small luminary to rule over the night. V'esa kochavim, and the stars. So this is the creation of the sun, the moon, and the stars. The Rashi points out, and the pasuk begins describing them both as Moros HaGadolim, as big luminaries. And then the pasuk continues and calls one small, one big. So something strange, something changed here. Why are they both first called Gadolim, and then they're called Gadol and Katan? So before we get to what Rashi says, the simple pshat here, we always have to go to the simple pshat first. The simple pshat, the Rashbam says, is, and I think it makes a lot of sense, that the moon and the sun are the two biggest things that we see in the sky, but yet, relative to one another, the sun's bigger than the moon. So from our perspective, we see two big luminaries. They're both gadolim, meaning relative to all the other stars, they look big to us, but the sun is the more hagadol, and the moon is the more hakatan. So that makes sense in terms of the pshat. However, it still begs the question, because it is strange the Torah would describe them both as gadolim, and then call one katan, the same pasuk. I mean, in the way the pasuk is structured, it still begs the question, and what exactly are we describing? So even though you can say that it's all relative to, you know, the moon relative to the sun is small, but relative to the other stars it looks big to us, it's still funny why the pasuk would change its description, you know, in mid-pasuk. So let's look at Rashi. Rashi quotes from a Gemara. It's the bottom left column. I bracketed off the Rashi. Rashi says, Maros ha'gedolim, shavim nivro. He says, initially the sun and the moon were created equal. V'nismata ha'levana, but the moon was shrunk down, it was diminished, al shekitriga, because it complained. V'amran, it said, Yefshur l'shneim lachim shishtam shebkesarecha. It said, how can two kings use one crown? So Rashi's alluding to a Gemara, which we'll see in a minute together. But this is a very famous Gemara or story, that the moon came to Hashem and said, Hashem, it's not fair. I'm big and the sun is big. You can't have two kings ruling over the same country. It's one of us has got to go, basically. So Hashem said, oh yeah, well, funny things have to go, so the moon, you're going to be shrunk down to size. And the moon gets shrunk down, and the moon has to rule over the night, and the sun rules over the day. So that's the simple understanding in Rashi over here. And as we've seen already in the past few weeks, not just a cute story, there's some very deep idea being portrayed through this story. So I want to go to see the Gemara together to get the full story, and then we'll discuss what it means. So we turn to the second page. This is really a story quoted in the Gemara Maseches Chulin. And this Gemara gives us, Rashi really paraphrases the story into one short line, which Rashi does very often. He will give you just the condensed version. But the Gemara gives the full version of the story. So let's read the story together, and then we'll try to understand what it means. It's the fourth line on the second page here. Rav Shimon ben Fazi Rami. So Rav Shimon ben Fazi asked a contradiction in Psukim. First the Pasuk says Hashem made two big luminaries. Uksiv, and then it says Mora Gadol v'smora Katon. And then it says there's a big and a small one. So they're the same contradiction we pointed out before. So how do you reconcile that contradiction? Amrei Reich Nekosh Baruch Hu. So the moon said before Hashem, Ribono Sholom, Efshar Shnim Lachem Sheshtam Shem Keser Echad. The moon said to Hashem, is it possible that two kings could serve with one crown? Amar La. So Hashem said, that's a good point. Lechi Matias Atzmeich. Hashem said to the moon, you go and make yourself smaller then. So it's actually a discussion. Was the moon, originally, did it give light like the sun? Or did it always reflect the sun? Which one was it? So I'm going to understand it, based on many commentaries, that the moon always reflected the sun's light. It never had its own light, but it was as large as the sun. So you would see it in the sky as big as the sun. However, it was still reflecting the sun's light. That's how I'm understanding it. However, there are some commentaries that say the moon initially actually gave off its own light. And then when it got shrunk down to size, it lost its light. So some learned it that way. But Hashem told the moon, okay, you have the complaint, so you become smaller, and the sun will be the big king. Amr lefana of Ribbono Shalom, so the moon said back to Hashem. He said, Ribbono Shalom, hov amarti lefanecha davar hagun, amaris atzmi, because I said a good point, I have to shrink myself? I mean, you're agreeing I made a good taina, you know, what I said is true, so why are you punishing me and making me shrink myself? Amr lo, so Hashem said to the moon, lechi, go, umishol b'yom uvelayla, you should rule over the day and the night. Meaning the sun's only seen during daytime, but the moon can be seen both during the day and during the nighttime sometimes. So the moon actually has power during the day as well. So, okay, moon, you're right. Maybe I was wrong for shrinking you, Keviyachol Hashem says. So therefore, I'll give you control over the daytime as well, where the sun is only stuck to the day and does not rule at night. Amrulay, so the moon said back to Hashem, my Ravuse, what's the advantage of me having power during the day? The Shraga Batira Mayahani. What good is a candle in sunlight? Meaning, I'm this tiny little moon. I merely reflect the sun's light, so my light is worthless during the day. So what kind of consolation is that? Like a candle in daylight does nothing for us. So Amar La, so Hashem said to the moon, okay, that's a good point. Zil, limni b'cha Yisrael yom v'shamim. You should go, and Kla Yisrael will count by you days and years. So we use the moon for months and for our years. Our calendar is a lunar calendar. So that's your reward. No, your point is a good point. I have to console you still. So you'll be the way that the Jews count their years. Amra le, yom adam yefshir l'mani be tekufta. The moon said, well, that's not good enough either, because we count seasons based on the sun. I mean, the Jewish calendar also has to line up with the sun, the solar year. As we know, we have an extra Adar sometimes to line up Nisan with the spring. So we also take into account the solar year. It says that the sun and the moon will be for signs and for holidays and for days and years. So the sun's also part of that. So that's not my unique consolation. So Hashem, how are you going to console me? You still haven't fixed the problem. So it says, Zil likru tzadiki b'shmecha. So Hashem said to the moon, okay, you'll go, and tzadikim will be called in your name. Meaning, because the moon is the Me'or HaKatan, the small luminary, and Yaakov is called Yaakov HaKatan, Shmuel HaKatan, David HaKatan. So we find we have great, great tzadikim that are referred to by the word Katan, similar to the moon. So okay, that'll be your consolation. You'll have tzadikim named after you. So still the moon wasn't happy. It says that Hashem saw the moon still wasn't settled. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Hashem then said, a fascinating thing, very hard to understand. Heviu kapara alai. You have to bring atonement for me. Hashem Kevyachol is confessing, I made a mistake. I need kapara. Why? Shmiati Sayyirah, because I shrunk down the moon. So Hashem Kevyachol is admitting to the fact he made a mistake of shrinking the moon, seemingly, whatever that means. And says, I need kapara, I can't console the moon. The moon's not being consoled. Now Hashem didn't decide to restore the moon to its original size. He didn't do that. If Hashem really made a mistake, he could have said, okay, moon, you're right, I'll put you back into the size of the sun once again. Hashem didn't do that. So obviously the moon needs to remain small. But Hashem said, okay, but I have to bring kapara for myself. Hanadam Rav Shimon ben Lakish, this is what Rav Shimon ben Lakish says. Manishtana se'ir shel Rosh Chodesh. Shnemar bo la Hashem. How come when it comes to the chatas on Rosh Chodesh, it says the words La Hashem? It says this is a seir La Hashem. It's a seir for Hashem, a goat for Hashem. So simple meaning is that, you know, we give it to Hashem. It's a karban. But you can also read the pasuk is that it's Hashem's goat, meaning Hashem himself has to bring a chatas. Amar Kosh Baruch Hu seir zeh yekapara al shmiatis al yirech. Hashem says this goat shall be for me an atonement because I shrunk down the moon to size.
Don't we have the same language for Yom Kippur?
Seir la Hashem. Well, we call it the Seir la Hashem. But I don't, is that a language in the pasuk?
I don't know.
I have to look in the pasuk. I'm not sure. Look up the pasuk. It's a good point. Look at the pasuk, see exactly what words it. But the Gemara points out that the Seir on Rosh Chodesh, that Chatas, is called La Hashem. And that's, as it were, that's Hashem's personal kapara for shrinking the moon down. So the Gemara is puzzling. I mean, it's very hard to understand what the Gemara means. What's the moon's conversation with Hashem? Was the moon's complaint a good complaint, a bad complaint? Was the moon right? Was the moon wrong? And what does it mean at the end that Hashem had to bring a karban to atone for it? Hashem doesn't sin. Hashem doesn't make mistakes. So what's going on here? So this fits right back into our whole theme of the different blunders of Rishis. There seems to be something went amiss over here. It's as if Hashem made a mistake, Chas V'Shalom, and it couldn't be fixed, so Hashem had to then bring a carbon to atone for it. Like, what does it mean? The whole thing seems to be Chinese. It's very hard to know what it means. So let's try to give some sort of explanation to what this means and how we can understand on our level. So just I want to review a point we've said a few times already, which we have to recognize that all these mistakes as abrasious, we keep saying these were ideals for the world. There's a process which we have to go through in this world to get there. And at the end, the ideal is restored. So same thing we described about, you know, the fruit tasting like the tree tasting like the fruit, or we described about the ore which was hidden away. All these things are, they begin as an ideal vision for the world, but that's not where we are right now. We have to go along a path, a process to get there, and at the end it's restored. So here as well, there's an ideal called that the moon is the same as the sun. There's some ideal that's described that way. In our world, as we have it, we have to go through a process in order to restore that. And then, Lasid Lavo, we do have sources to say, we'll see some later, that the moon will be restored to that same size once again. So we have to understand that that's always our structure, that's our vision. So let's figure out what that means. So one more source to look at here, turn the page. I think we may have actually seen the same exact quote maybe last year, but we can always refresh our memories, and it's worthwhile to see again. This is Afike Mayim. This is the Sefer of Moshe Shapiro, Zatzal. And we're taking about out of it for one or two paragraphs. But in this discussion, he describes, he goes through this this concept of the Gemara a little bit, this idea of the moon and the sun, and describes to us at least a general theme as to how we can understand this whole discussion you find, you know, between the Hashem and the moon. So if you look at the left column, it's on top, it says page Sadi Zion. Left column, there's a bracket there, the bottom paragraph. Panimius Inyanhu. So he says that the inner workings of this Inyan are the following. Shebetchila Sabriya, Nivru Shneim Oros HaGadolim. So in the beginning of creation, two big luminaries were created. Ve'acharkach Nismata Halvan Al Shkitriga. And then the moon was shrunk down to size because it complained. Ve'soda Davarhu. So what's the yesod of this? What's it trying to describe? Shrutsunu Yisbarach Bechlal Habriyahu. Hashem's desire in our world is that His Malchus should be revealed through our world. Meaning one of the most basic ideas of creation is that Hashem wants to be recognized and revealed through our lower world. Hashem doesn't need our world for anything. Hashem on His own is just fine. But the only thing that we can contribute to Hashem kevi'achol is that we can reveal Hashem from within a physical world. So that the purpose of this of the creation was that Hashem should create a world with people, with physicality, with challenges, and despite all that, and through all that, we reveal Hashem's greatness. And how does this work? It's the way, it's that human beings have to use Bechira and choose Hashem to be their king. Because you can't have a king without a nation. The word king, by definition, means there are subjects to the king. He can't be a king without ruling over anything. So you have to have people accepting Hashem's authority through their own personal desire. This is the avoda in this world. This batel klapei ma'ala, that we should negate ourselves towards Hashem, v'yosev Hashem, and be servants to Hashem. So Hashem puts us in the world, gives us bechira, gives us challenges, and the goal of it all is that through the challenges we should make the right choices and bring out Hashem's malchus through those choices. But the problem is that for this to occur, Hashem cannot illuminate our world in the same way He illuminates the upper worlds. I mean, this is the whole concept, a very famous concept, how we have to have some sort of concealment or confusion to have free choice at all. If Hashem is too clear for us, we mentioned this a few weeks ago about the great Mor HaGadol. If Hashem is the Oraganos, if Hashem is too clear for us, and the truth is just staring us in the face, then that's also not our purpose in this world. We can't make any choices anymore. Now, when a person has a gun to your head, there's no choices to be made. You just do as he says. So when Hashem is so evident, Hashem is so clear, we don't have any choice to make. The choices are obvious. Hashem wants us to have choices. Hashem wants us to have challenges. So he cannot shine in our world as He shines in the upper worlds. Dibkit is batul in avoda, because if that was the case, the whole concept of avoda would be batul. And we have no possibility to reveal Hashem's greatness through free choice. We'd be compelled to do it. It would just be forced upon us. Very similar to the pasuk, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, "I want to see your greatness." And Hashem tells him, "Lo yirani ha'adam v'cha." You can't see me and live, because this life means you can't have a clear vision of Hashem in this world. In this world, there has to be some sort of confusion, some sort of concealment. If Hashem is so clear to us, then we have no purpose here. So this world was created with a lacking of Hashem's honor. We don't see Hashem's light. The word olam, I've mentioned before, the word olam comes from the word helam, which means concealment, because this world is a world of concealment. This means that the kavod of Hashem and the light of Hashem have to be exposed by people. Hashem doesn't just put it out there for us to see, we have to bring it out ourselves. By Alma, when we reveal Hashem's honor in this world, in Yanahu Kabbalah Sa'or Mishrasha Elyon, Shadi Avoda HaRatsuya, Kshbarcho Mashpia Oro Tocha Olam Atachton. So the idea is that we should receive the light from its upper source, but we should be able to receive it down here. If you want to give like a mashal, so we all know that probably in this room there are different, I don't know, radio signals going through. If you don't turn on your radio, you're not going to pick up on them. So Hashem is putting light in this world we can't see. If we're able to do the right avoda and make the right choices, we can then pick up on that light and shine it back out once again. And that's our job. So then he says, this is the whole concept of the moon and the sun based on this Rashi. This is the idea that the moon, mekabels orem min haShemesh, the moon receives light from the sun. We know the moon is merely a reflection of the sun. The moon doesn't have any of its own light. It reflects the sun's light. Vein lo migar meklum. The moon has nothing of its own. Shrei munach ba shorosh avod el kabel shefa mimal. Because the moon, for us, is a symbol of how to receive the shefa, the flow, from above. I mean, the moon is the ideal reflector of the sun. And it reflects the sun's light down to our world. You know, we're not so used to it because we have street lights, but if you ever have a power outage, it's a full moon, it really lights up the place. You can really see. It's amazing. I remember a few years back, we had a lot of, there was one summer where the power was going out left and right, before Petco started cutting down the lines. And there was one Shabbos night, and the power went out, as usual. It was like the commonplace thing that summer, if you remember that summer. And there was a full moon. I remember walking outside, and you could actually see it. I never saw that before, because usually the street light's on, so you don't know how much, but the moon has a lot of light when it's a full moon. So the moon's the ideal way to reflect the sun's light down to this world. In my time of Yisrael, Nimshul Lavana came on Shavodos Amilik Babel Sa'or Lenachon Gam Lakam Achoshech. And Klai Yisrael is compared to the moon because our avoda is to receive the light from Hashem even in the darkness and reflect it back. Skipping the brackets for now. V'lachem Moni Yisrael Lishno Salvanos. That's why the Jews count by the moon. Came on Shemegala Machus Baruch Matachtam. That's our job. The moon is who we are. We are the nation of the moon because our job is to reflect back the light of Hashem as the moon reflects the light of the sun. So in the bracha of Kiddush Levana, part of that bracha says that Klal Yisrael is going to be mischadish, renew themselves like the moon. This is the moon every single month that will wax. So to Klal Yisrael also will wax. We'll also renew ourselves. Because just as the moon renews itself, the concept is that it's the same idea of Hashem's Malchus being renewed in this world. That the Tachtonim, the lower world, will reflect back Hashem's Malchus. Yes, give me the brackets again. V'isa b'gemara, shalach le'simna. And the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, very interesting, the Gemara has a story where, I forgot the details, one of the Amorayim was in like a different city, and he wasn't, from where he was, he couldn't see the new moon, even though it was Rosh Chodesh. So he's waiting for someone to send him a message that it was a new month. In the message they sent, they used the code Davin Melch Yisrael Chai VeKayom. That meant it was Rosh Chodesh, it was a new moon. Why, it's a very funny message to give, a very funny code. Why is that the code about the new moon? Behind Shel Vana he connected Malchus Beis David, because the moon corresponds to Malchus Beis David. Shemisgalo Yado Dugmas Malchus Baruch Matatonu. Because through David HaMelech, Hashem's kingship is revealed in our world. I mean, the Melech Yisrael, his job is to be a model of Hashem's Malchus. So David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech and all the great kings, their job was just to reflect Hashem's Malchus to this world. So David HaMelech Yisrael Chai VeKayom is the description of the moon. Because just like the moon reflects the sun's light, and it represents Christ reflecting Hashem's light, the whole role of the Jewish king was to reflect Hashem's light to this world. So that's the symbol. So Moshe Shapiro here gives us really the key to understanding this entire concept. And the key is to understand at first that you have the relationship of the sun and the moon is like Hashem to Klal Yisrael. The moon reflects the sun's light, and Kleistros reflects Hashem's light. The moon wanes and waxes. Kleistro has their ups and downs. The world's going to have his chachis where we reflect back that light 100%. It's very interesting. I think it's a medrash that says, if you look through history, going from Avram Avinu until Shlomo HaMelech, there's 15 generations, which corresponds to the 15 days of the moon going to be a full moon. And then there's 15 more generations till the Churban. Because Kleistro's history is like the moon. Our heyday was Shlomo HaMelech's times. That's when the Mikdash was built. That's when everybody was Tachas Teino and Tachas Gafno. That was our greatest time. And that was the full moon of history. And after that, unfortunately, the moon started to wane. And 15 Doros later, there was a Churban. But that's Kleistro. Because the moon is who we are. We are the moon. And that's our job in this world. So our whole role, as he said, is we're supposed to be here in this physical world, in a world of concealment, in a world where we don't see Hashem all the time, where we have a lot of questions, and we're supposed to receive the light of Hashem and reveal the light through all this and reflect it back. That's our job. Ultimately, when you look at this world, you should see Hashem, but not because Hashem just puts himself here, because we as Jews have brought Hashem out of the world. That's what we're supposed to do. And this brings the world to its tachlis. The world reflecting back Hashem's light is really the world's goal. That's what it's supposed to be. We talk about the idea that the Kleistro is the Or La'amim, or the light unto the nations. So you think, literally, what's our light exactly? So you could say that our light is the light we reflect from Hashem. No, they're not going to see Hashem's light directly, but Jews are able to take the light of Hashem and reflect it back to the world. That's who we are. It's very interesting, if you've ever seen like the Eshet Torah presentations. They have one presentation, I think it's called World Perfect, I think it's called. You ever seen this before? Ishtar has a whole like slew of different presentations they give. And one of them is about all the contributions you find in history from the Jews to the world. I mean, we're a tiny, tiny nation, but so much of the world we're in is based on what we've brought to the world. Based on the Torah, based on our teachings, based on our morality. They have all sorts of presentations and proofs to show that we've brought this light to the world. And it's all light of Hashem. It's all Hashem's light being brought out to the world as we see it. So the moon, as he said, is called Lesli Megarmeklum, has nothing of its own. The moon itself is just a rock, that's all it is. But yet it's able to take sunlight, which is so powerful, and give us light down here on earth in a way which we can see. The moon's just dark and bare. So we call it a ma'or, it's a luminary, but only because it's able to reflect the light of the sun, it's made to receive that light perfectly. And this is Klai Yisrael. So if we want to know how Hashem reveals himself into our world, it has to be through our actions. One of the most basic ideas of Avodas Hashem is that Hashem responds to us, Hashem acts based on how we act, and the level of Shechin on our world, the level of Bracha in our world is all based on our actions, because we bring that light out. Hashem's light shines in our world, but if we think that we shine at Hashem, so that's a problem. I mean, it's the Gemara says that Esau is compared to the sun also. Why is that? Because he thinks he has his own light. The sun could be a model for Hashem, because Hashem gives the light to the world. But if someone who's a big Baal Gaiva, somebody thinks they have their own light, they're also compared to the sun. But there's like a false sun, there's a true sun. And they think they have the light, but they don't. So that's why Esau is compared to the Chama, to the sun, because they think they can shine, whereas we're compared to the moon, because we know that we have nothing of our own. We know that all we have is whatever Hashem gives us. So the world needs to look at Klai Yisrael and say, when I see a Jew, I see the Or of Hashem. That's what the world should see. You can't see Hashem directly. Like I said, Lo Yirani Adam V'Chai. There's no way. You can't live in this world and see Hashem directly. The same way you can't look at the sun. Now, last summer when we had the eclipse, everyone was warned, don't look directly at the light, make sure you put on your special glasses, because if you look at the sun, it literally could blind you. And the same thing, Hashem, we can't look at Hashem. Hashem in our world, this doesn't work. We'd be blinded by it. Then we'd be totally consumed by it. The only way that people can really see the light of Hashem is by seeing Klai Yisrael. When you see what the Jews do, and how a Jew acts, and what a Jew brings to the world, that's how you're able to see Hashem. And Hashem's light's always shining. We have to be able to receive that light properly. And the light can only be received, you know, based on the way that Jews act. So that's the new moon. So if we look back at the story for a second, I don't know if I have every detail of the story totally hammered out, but at least the general theme of the story in the Gemara, it says initially the sun and moon were created the same size. Rashi says they were shavim nivro, they were the same size initially. Because the ideal of the world is that this world should reflect back perfectly Hashem's light. You know, they should shine in the same way, because Hashem has this great light shining into our world. And if we all do what we're supposed to do, then we will shine that light like a mirror. It'll shine right back to Hashem. So the idea was they're the same size. That was the way the world was created. They're both the same size. Klal Yisrael should present 100% the clarity of the Or Hashem to the world and just mirror it right back. But the truth is, it's a process. You know, it doesn't happen automatically. There's a process of history. We're supposed to be doing our avoda, making our choices, doing the right things to bring out that light. So what happens? To be megala from tachton, then there has to be a diminishing of the moon. Because we have to start off by saying, no, the moon has nothing of its own. The moon is small. The moon is dark. And then we have to do our best to reflect the light back once again. So the avoda, the miud halavana, shrinking of the moon, allows for us now to do avoda. It gives us our task. Okay, you're shrunk down to size. You don't give your own light off. You're just a piece of rock. Now do your best to reflect the light back once again. That's what we have to do. If the moon remained the exact size of the sun, then there's no room for free choice, no room for our avoda, because then the light of Hashem is clear once again. So the whole concept of our world is that we're supposed to be shrunk down to size, we're supposed to be cut in, we're supposed to be dark, and through that reveal this light. So let's try to understand what the moon was saying. The moon said, the moon had a taina. The moon said, two kings cannot share the same crown. So many mafarshim take this in different ways, but I like to suggest the following pshat. I would say that, you know, the moon, it was doing l'shem shemayim. You know, the moon understood the role, its role in this world, and the moon said that if the sun and me are the same size, then, you know, people are not going to recognize the fact that I'm supposed to just reflect back the sunlight. They'll mistake me for light my own. Or there, like we said, there's no bechira. Like, you can't have a situation where the moon and the sun are the same size. Not initially, at least. It can't be made that way. So maybe the moon was actually requesting to be shrunk down. The moon was saying, you got to shrink me, because or else my whole purpose is not going to be fulfilled in this world. So I saw some commentaries say, well, the moon didn't mean it should be shrunk. It meant the sun should be enlarged or something. But the point being that the moon was saying, we can't be equals, because then we're going to miss the boat. The moon was concerned that if the sun and the moon are the same size, then it would not be clear that the moon is merely reflecting sunlight. You think the moon gives light and the sun gives light. That's what you'd think. So the moon said that there needs to be some differentiation between myself and the sun, so it's clear I'm just reflecting the sun's light. That's what I'm supposed to do in this world. So Hashem decided, okay, I'll shrink the moon down. That's what Hashem did. But then the moon was upset. The moon said, I had a good point. You shrink me down to size? So it could also be, I would say there's two different aspects of that. The moon says, okay, you should have enlarged the sun. Don't shrink me, right? That's one point. And additionally, the moon's saying, well, if you shrink me, that's still a miud of kavod shemayim. You know, if I'm smaller than the sun, if I'm shrunk, so then whatever I reflect back is still going to be deficient. Because now that I'm small, even if I reflect everything back, you're not going to see all the sunlight. So maybe the moon is complaining that there has to be a differentiation, but if I'm shrunk, then you're going to lose out on your kavod, Hashem. And that was the moon was saying. So Hashem tries to give different ways to give the moon its chashivas, its significance. So I'll give you stars to accompany you, and I will let you rule over day and night, and I'll give you Klal Yisrael to count their months, you know, and their years based on you. But ultimately, Hashem left the moon small, because Hashem said the point is 100% right. The moon has to be smaller than the sun, because the moon's never going to be 100% what the sun is. You know, we can, as hard as we try, we're never going to 100% be what mirror back Hashem's light. Hashem's light is far beyond us. So the moon has to remain small, but yet the moon's point is a valid point. It can't be the same size as the sun. It has to be smaller than the sun. And that's how it's left. So why every detail was actually made there, I'm not sure. But I think that's the general outlook on that Gemara. But then you have the end of the Gemara. And the end of the Gemara tells us that Hashem felt he did a chet. Hashem says, you know, I have to have kapara. I have to have atonement for what I did, because it's like Hashem made a mistake, as it were. And what does that mean? So I think that the pshat's the following. The whole idea of a chet, so we always translate chet as sin. It's not accurate, though. That's not the right translation. It says that in Sefer Lachim, I think, Lachim Aleph, it says, Basheva speaking about her position in terms of when David Melch was dying and he had a son who was trying to take over the kingdom. So they made this whole big gathering, and Basheva and Shlomo were not invited. So she said, Ani Shlomo b'ni chata'im. Myself and Shlomo, we are chata'im. They weren't sinners. But they were just, they're missing. The word chet just means a lacking. We wouldn't be there, we're lacking it. They say, it's a phrase in Tanakh, I think it's also in modern Hebrew, if you miss the goal, they say, l'achti es ha-matara, you know, you've missed the goal. L'achti, you didn't sin, it means you've missed the boat, you missed. So the word chet doesn't mean a sin, the word chet means a lacking, I'm missing something, I'm lacking something. So the idea is that, the idea of kapara, when Hashem says I have to bring kapara for myself, what Hashem is saying is that I now am lacking. Because now in the world, when I shrink the moon down, what I'm saying is that I am lacking in this world. You're not going to have the full vision of me. That's exactly what happened. The moon shrinks down, it can't reflect back the full sunlight anymore. And therefore Hashem says, chatasi, meaning that I am now lacking in the world. I've shrunk down my kavod. My kavod could have been the size of the sun, and now my kavod is merely shrunk down to the moon size. So Hashem, as it were, he took away from his revelation in this world by shrinking the moon. So Hashem says, "I need kapara." So meaning, I need to fill that up. I need to fill that void somehow. So how does he fill that void? So Rosh Chodesh. It says the Rosh Chodesh, the carbon of Rosh Chodesh, is Hashem's chatos, as it were, because the idea of Rosh Chodesh, the idea of the moon waxing. No, it's a new moon. The moon's going to get big once again. Hashem is saying that right now my kavod is diminished, but the moon is a symbol for us that it will be restored once again. And that's what we said before, that we say, the Moshe Shapiro said in his piece here, that the bracha you make a Kiddush Levana, it says that Klai Yisrael is going to be mischadesh like the moon, which means that, you know, the full greatness of Klai Yisrael will be restored, because the moon is a symbol of restoration. The moon is a symbol of coming back together again. It's actually a minhag when we say Kiddush Levana, to dance. Many shuls, if you go there, usually it's the men there, but if you go there to shuls, but Kiddush Levana, then they will dance afterwards. And this is actually a minhag based on the Ramah. The Ramah says that Kiddush Levana for Klai Yisrael is such a positive time. It's a symbol for us of Mashiach coming. And he says it's like a husband and wife reuniting together once again. It's like Hashem reuniting with us. And it's a time that we have hope for Mashiach to come, and we have hope to reunite with Hashem. So we dance. And then there's a minhag to dance at Kiddush Levana. Because it's all this idea that the world will reflect back this light. Mashiach will come. You know, Hashem's aura will be clear. So the moon is the symbol for that. It's very interesting. You know, this is, I guess, a more Kabbalistic idea. But if Hashem's name, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, so they say that there's two Heys in the name. Because the one Hey is kind of Hashem's revelation on high. The second is Hashem's revelation down here. And they're supposed to be mirror images of one another. That's why they're both Heys, because they mirror one another. So Hashem, in this world, that second Hey, is this symbol that this world can reflect back Hashem's greatness. In Yedi Nefesh, in the Zemar of Yedi Nefesh, so also the four paragraphs, if you look at it, they're Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yedi Nefesh, then it says, what's next? The Galen is the last one. Remember, Yedi Nefesh is Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the last one, it says, Toyer Eretz Michvodecha, that the land should shine from your light. Because that's exactly what we're talking about, that the ultimate goal is that this whole world should shine from Hashem's light. So again, back to our cute story of the moon making complaints. Again, we have another very deep idea over here, that the complaints of the moon were really the moon recognizing the role of Klai Yisrael in this world. It's the moon recognizing what it symbolizes and recognizing that I can't be the same size as the sun, because then no one's going to be able to tell that I'm just a reflection. It has to be clear the moon is reflecting the sun, and that's a lesson to us, that our job in this world is to reflect back Hashem's light. So what's the lesson for us? You know, what does it mean to us? How do we apply this? So first and foremost, it's the concept of how a Jew acts. Certainly, mitzvos, chesed, doing the right things, making the right choices, makes us into the proper vessel to reflect the light back. And ultimately, a Jew is supposed to be reflecting Hashem's light. When someone sees a Jew, they should comment, I see something special here. I see someone who's a little more godly, a little more divine. That's how they should view us. Unfortunately, we don't always act that way. But the image of a Jew in this world should be, as the Pasuk says, people should see us and say, I can tell that Hashem's name is upon these people. And they should have a fear of us. They should respect us. They should revere us because we are here representing Hashem. That's the way that the person should look at a Jew. Every single bracha, this interesting idea, the Tosfos says, every bracha we know has the main part of a bracha is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. We have to say the Shem Hashem, and we have to say Malchus. So every bracha is going to have Shem and Malchus. So the Tosfos asked the question, what is Shmon Esrei? If you look at Shmon Esrei in the very beginning, it says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. It doesn't say Melech HaOlam there. Every other bracha in the Siddur says Melech HaOlam somewhere. And the Shmon Esrei doesn't say it. And we're talking about the most important part of our tefillah, and we're missing Melech HaOlam. Where do you find recognizing Hashem's Malchus in Shmon Esrei? So Tosfos says an incredible thing. He says that the term Elokei Avraham, that qualifies as Hashem's Malchus. Why? Because when you talk about the Avos, you see Hashem's Malchus through the Avos. You look at Avram Avinu, represents the world Hashem's Malchus. That's who he was, that's who he is, and that's who he represents. And that's the way we all should be. All of us, we should live our lives, and when people see us, they see this person is God's nobility. This person is somebody who is a cut above the rest. This person is godly and divine. That's what should be seen. And we talk about making Kiddush Hashem. You know, Kiddush Shemayim is that people should see us as godly people. Hashem is reflected through our activities. So when we do the right things, it reflects and mirrors Hashem to the world. That's what it does. I recently heard a very interesting thing, which I wanted to share, which I think relates to this point, but it's good to share anyways. Rabbi Lapiansky last summer, he led a trip to Lithuania. It was like a private trip. And he took people around to all the old yeshivas there, all the yeshiva buildings, and went to each yeshiva, and there's nothing left there anymore. I mean, they're all either rundown buildings or whatever they are. But they went around, what?
Some are factories.
Factories and gymnasiums, and some are just gone. But he went around Europe and to Lithuania, and he went to all the old yeshivas. So one thing, I was listening to all the recordings are online. I was listening to the recordings of these trips, very interesting. And he mentioned there, he spoke about, there's a famous story of how the Mir Yeshiva escaped, you know, from, they ended up in Vilna and they escaped to Shanghai. Which many of you probably know the story, details of the story. I'm not going to go into the story right now. You know, Mrs. Lansman Lashon was born in Shanghai, right? But the story, if you don't know the details, it's incredible nisim, how they got there, how things happened. So I'm not going to go through those details. One interesting part of the story is that there was a brief period where Lithuania was left independent, which didn't make any sense because the Russians kind of left it alone. The Nazis didn't invade it yet. It was kind of left on its own. So all the Jews came to Vilna for safety. Chaim Ozer, he encouraged all the yeshivas to come to Vilna because at that point it was the safest place to be, and they all came. So for some reason at that point, there was never a Japanese consul there before, and they opened up a consulate right there in Vilna, the Japanese. And the story, there's again a lot of details to the story, but eventually the Japanese consul ended up stamping the visas for all the Mir Yeshiva students and others as well. The lesser part of the story is that the Japanese and the Germans, you know, they were working together in the war. You know, they had an alliance. So the Germans had sent a secretary with the Japanese consul because they didn't trust him. They wanted to have someone to watch over him. So they had this Nazi secretary working with this Japanese consul. And this Nazi secretary, for some reason, went along with the plan and he stamped all the Jews' visas along with the Japanese guy. I think his name was Sugihara, was the guy's name. It was the Japanese guy. I forgot the German guy's name. But people couldn't figure out like why this Nazi secretary was stamping all the visas. So he was asked, why are you stamping these visas? And he said, I respect this kind of Jew. That's what he said. Now, that's the end of the story. So Rabbi Lapiansky said, he always has to think about what that means. I mean, he didn't give any more explanation, this Nazi. But it sounded like he respected from Jews. He was dealing with all the yeshiva bachrim and respected them. So Rabbi Lapiansky said, he likes to think, what happened in that story. I mean, this is now all hypothesis. It's not necessarily what happened. But seemingly, you'd think that back in Germany, this Nazi had neighbors who may have been, Orthodox Jews. And probably the neighbors were nice, good Yekesha Jews who were honest and upright and respectful. And, he was impressed with their honesty and with their midos and with the way they acted. They made a kiddushim shemayim. So when he's put to the test, to stamp all these visas, he said, I respect this kind of Jew because I remember my neighbors back in Germany who were fine, upstanding, honest people, and I respect them for it. So we don't know if that's happened, but it fits. It makes a lot of sense. So then Rabbi Lapiansky said, so imagine this neighbor. Now picture if you were this Jewish neighbor back in Germany who was neighbor to this Nazi. And he dies, goes up to Shemayim, and he gets this royal greeting in Shemayim. And he says, you know, I'm just a nice German Jew. I wasn't a big gadol Talmud Chacham. Why do I get this greeting in Shemayim? And they say to him, don't you realize that the entire world of yeshivas was saved because of you? You know, you have thousands and thousands of yeshiva bachrim now because, or at this point, then it was hundreds. But you know, after that, you know, the world of yeshivas was saved because of you. And now look what's in the world. He says, what do you mean? I was just a nice Jew. You know, I davened and I did my best to learn. And I was an honest person at work. And, you know. But the Kishim Shemayim he made makes such a difference to this Nazi that he was willing then to let all these Jews pass and escape from the war. So again, this is conjecture, this is hypothesis, but it all fits. It's the power of Kishim Shemayim. When you act in that way and people see you as a godly person, imagine the impact it can have on all around. You don't realize the impact it has. People just say, I respect Jews because of you. I now believe there's a God in the world because I see these people. And that's our goal. That's us reflecting back Hashem's light to the world. We know there's a concept that gadolim have a certain hadras pandim. Their faces shine. Moshe Rabbeinu was the example, but every gadol has a certain shine to their face. You would think it's the Or Hashem being reflected back physically. If that's what you would think it is, this is our role. You know, we have to ask ourselves: do my actions reflect Hashem's light or not? You know, when people meet me, do they see I see something godly here, or do I see just a regular person? We can't see Hashem, but we can shine His light, and we can be the Or LaAmim. So that's the idea. Natarz Merchadecha. Eventually, we want the whole world to shine. I just want to end. There's a famous story which you probably heard before. I forgot where I heard it the first time. It could have been like on a Pesach Kron like recording or something. Actually, I was trying to find details to the story, and I found the story online. Here it is. It's not in your packets. I found the story online, and the source I found it seemed to be like a non-Jewish source. I don't know, but either way, it was about the pasuk in Malachi. But I saw it for, I guess, it was a non-Jewish website. But remember, the story is a story, whatever it was. It could be you've heard the story before. A few years ago, I think it was a fairly popular story. But the pasuk in Malachi, it compares the Malach of Hashem to someone who refines silver and purifies silver. So the story says here, there are women who are studying this pasuk, and they're wondering, you know, what's this comparison to a silver refiner? So one of the ways inside, I'm going to go to a silver refinery, and I'm going to check it out, and we'll talk to the silversmith and see if we can figure out what the pasuk means. So she went to a silversmith, and made an appointment to watch the silversmith at work. She did not mention why she was interested in coming, but she said, I'm curious to see the process of silver, and she went to go watch the process. So she watched the silversmith. He held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. He explained that in refining silver, one needs to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames were the hottest to burn away all the impurities. So the woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot. And she thought again about what it means. And she asked the silversmith, if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver is being refined. The man said, yeah, I have to sit there the entire time through. So as long as the silver is being refined, I have to watch it. And he said, he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time it was in the fire, because if it was in there too long, it'd be destroyed. So the woman was silent for a moment. And then she asked the silversmith, how do you know when the silver is fully refined? Because he's watching it and he's trying to figure it out. If he leaves it too long, it's going to get destroyed. He smiled at her and he answered, oh, that's the easy part. When I see my image reflected in the silver, that's how I know it's refined. So then that's us. You know, Hashem's looking to see His image reflected in us. That's what Hashem's waiting for. Hashem's refining us. And when Hashem sees that, then He knows that the goal has been reached. But until that point, He's watching over us and waiting for Him to reach that point of the face being reflected back in the silver. Just the Chazal tell us that in the future, Lasid Lavo, the moon will be restored to its original size. And that's just look at the very last page here in the packet. This is a quote we say in Kiddush Levana.
We don't
say Kiddush Levana, right? But the men say Kiddush Levana. And it says in Kiddush Levana, V'yiratzon melfanecha, I put a bracket there, it's like five lines in. V'yiratzon melfanecha Hashem elokai elokei avosai, may be your will Hashem, l'malos pegimas halavana, these should fill in the deficiency of the moon. V'lo yeba shum miut, it should not have any diminishing, no deficiency. V'yorach alvana korachamba, and the light of the moon should become like the light of the sun. And it should be like the light of Bracious, before it was shrunk down. As it says, the Shnei Moros HaGadolim, Pasuk we quoted. So the tefillah we say, the men say, Kirsh Levana, and the guarantee that Chazal are giving us is that the tefillah for the future is the moon be restored to that original size once again. Which, based on what we've said, means that the world will reflect back Hashem's light 100%. And that's what we're going for. So that's the tefillah that the Or HaLevana should be Ko Orachama, Kor Shevas Mibreshes, Kmo Shais Kodo Miuta.
Thank you. Did you hear the story?